Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Genesis chapter 28, verses 16 and 17. And Jacob awake out of his sleep, and he said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. And he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. I want to talk to you about the house of God, the gate of heaven. You may be seated. Not just a verse in the Bible, but it's an entire lifestyle that I identify with. When David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. I've been in the church, the house of God, all of my life. When I was 10 years of age, I gave my life to Jesus. When I was 10 years of age, I was baptized. When I was 13 years of age, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. When I was 16 years of age, I started preaching the gospel. I've been in the church all of my life, but I will say this, that the church, the local church, has been the anchor of my soul. And without the local church, I would not have the relationship I have with the Lord, and there's a chance that I would not even be living for the Lord. Somebody said, well, do you have to have a relationship with a local church? You have to go to church, and you know, I deal with a lot of people that are unchurched, and all my cowboy buddies, not many of them go to church. If they do, it's not a very good church, I can tell you. But they say, you know, my church, Steve, is sitting on a horse looking out over a valley God created. That's just wonderful, but it has no scriptural basis whatsoever. And anybody can say that. The golfer can say, my church is the 18th hole. Oh, it's just so beautiful. And there is a golf course is a beautiful thing. Vance Havner said it's a beautiful pasture if you don't mess it up with balls and sticks. But a golf course is a beautiful thing. There's not much prettier than looking out over a professional baseball stadium. Man, when they got that thing ready for a game, it's just gorgeous. And so you can go on, or whatever your interest in life is, you can make that your sanctuary in your church. But unfortunately for most people, you don't get to choose the setting. God chooses the setting because you understand it is about God, and it's about God's creation, and it's about fellowship with the Lord. And so I said to my friend, he pastors a large church a week ago today, I said to him, I'm not preaching tonight. Pastor Brandon's preaching. And this guy pastors a church and has pastored a church for 30 years. And he said, oh, you don't even have to go tonight. It told me more about him than I wanted to know. That his ministry is really a profession. It's just like the plumber or the electrician or the banker or the factory worker. It's something he has to do. It's not really a calling of God. Because I don't have to come to church when Pastor Brandon's preaching. But I anticipate it as greatly as I do when I'm preaching. And I can promise you that I've never heard Pastor Brandon preach sitting there on that pew when I didn't receive something. The Lord speaks to me. And it's not just the message, it's the atmosphere. It's the people that I gather with. It has a tremendous impact on my life. And so you say, well, do you have to go to church to be saved? You have to be a part of it, be a church to save. Your chance of being saved without being a part of a local church is about the same as a little boy that's born to a mother and father, and they die, and he has no family, and he becomes an orphan on the street at 8 years of age. There's a chance that he will grow up to be a contributing member of society and get a college education and do well in life, but it's a small chance. There's a better chance that he's going to be a drug addict or an alcoholic and be kicked around all of his life and die young. That's the better chance. That same thing is true about those people that might get saved and have a relationship with the Lord, but they never go to a church. Their relationship with the Lord is great, but their integrity with God and their longevity with God is very, very sparse in consideration to those people that have recommended themselves to God, and they have subscribed to the teaching of the Word of God. And so people say, well, the church is the people. It's not a building. Then why dozens and dozens of times does the Bible talk not about the people? It talks about the house of God. Why was it the man after God's own heart was so inclined that he wanted to build a house for the Lord? And the Lord said, well, you can't do it. You got blood on your hands. You're a man of war. Your son will have to build. But he recognized the power of a church house. When I was a young boy, nobody ever said we're going to the church. They always said we're going to the church house. It's just like now they go to jail. It used to be a jailhouse. Remember Jailhouse Rock? It's just not the same song with Jail Rock. You got to have the Jailhouse Rock. Same thing with the church house. And God places a tremendous emphasis on his house, and he always has. And so your decision to start going to church is a great decision, because it is a decision that is in alignment not only with God's word, but God's will. God wants you to come to his house, to have a designated place, and decisions matter. Decisions have consequences. The decision where you're going to work and what you're going to work at, that has a great consequence. The city that you're going to live in. I'm supposed to go to Canada and preach, and I don't really want to travel that far away. To me, Guadalupe County is a big trip. I just like to stay in Bear County if I can, but I go to Guadalupe County, I go to Karnes County. I don't like to travel anymore. I just like to be here because I miss you and you and you and you and you. And I just like to be here in the... with what we're doing right here. But I got to go to Canada. And so I looked up Winnipeg, Canada, and it's the most violent, crime-ridden city in Canada. And so I said, God, I don't want to go there. And he said, well, apparently they need somebody there. I said, well, I guess so. So anyway, but when you think about where you are, the city you're living in, it has tremendous consequence. When you talk about your friends that you choose, tremendous consequence. And where you choose to go to church, the decision to go to church has a consequence, but the church that you choose has a tremendous consequence. The chief purpose of the church is to be a dispenser of the gospel. And if it's not a dispenser of the gospel, the church really doesn't have a purpose. And the truth is, there are more and more churches preaching less and less all the time. They're compromising the gospel. And so the gospel is the power of God. And so when you remove the gospel from the church, it's not the church. It's simply now another community event. There's something supernatural about God's church. And so people always say, well, I don't believe that the church is a building. But throughout the Bible, God's always got a building. He's always had a building. God wants a building. And so you say, well, you know, I just don't think it ought to be about a building. It's not about a building, but it is an advantage to have a building. What if you had a major league football team and you didn't have a building? You say, well, they're playing. Where are they playing? Well, we're not sure where they're playing. They're playing somewhere. They wouldn't have many fans, and they wouldn't have very good attendance. They got a designated arena. They've got a place that they play. And God's church is no different. There needs to be a designated time and a designated place for his people, his church, to gather into a church house. There are several significant things in the text that I've read to you. And here are the five truths that I very quickly draw out of. There's others. Number one, there is a place that God designates as his house. God designates certain places as his house. He has throughout the eons of time, and he still does. Number two, he declared that that house would be the gate of heaven. What does that mean? The gate of heaven. It means that there is a passageway from that place into the eternal place called heaven. Thirdly, Jacob was aware that it was God's, unaware that it was God's house. He said, I knew it not. It took a revelation for him to realize the significance of the place. He found it fearful. It was so powerful that it caused trepidation in him. God's house should be a place that is so filled with his presence that it's awe-striking, that you literally realize. There used to be a woman that drove a long way here to church, and I finally convinced her that she needed to go to a church closer than this one so she could be more involved. But she told me, said, And I asked her to go pretty powerfully. I said, you need to go because I want your kids to be in church. I want your husband to go to church. And she said, you realize you're making me take a step backwards to go to that church instead of coming to Living Way. I said, no, not really. She said, why is it that Living Way is the only church that when I drive in the parking lot, she said, I'm a little afraid. She said, there's always an apprehension. She said, it's just an excitement I've never felt anywhere else. And she'd been in church all of her life. There should be that presence of God in a church that is awe-striking. And Jacob found that in this place. And number five, he did not discover it until he woke up. It's actually like so many things in God's house. It's an awakening. You talk about woke. This is an awakening. Wake up. And so all of this is peculiar to God's church, unique to God's church. This is not a Kiwanis Club. This is not some kind of a higher learning place. This is not some kind of a place where you can make more money and where I know there's a guy, I see him all the time. He's faded in and out of this church for about 15 years. And he comes for about 3 or 4 months, and then he starts posting he's in a new church. You know why? He's in multi-level marketing. And so he's using all of us to recruit people. And once he recruits everybody he can out of Living Way, then he goes to Cornerstone. And then when he recruits everybody he can there, he moves on to New Creation. And once he gets there, then he goes to New Braunfels. And I've watched him. He's on a rotation. He's been doing that for 15 years. That's not what the church is. This is not a recruiting station. This is not a place to find new customers for your business. This is the house of the living God. It's about spiritual things, about spiritual things. Let's talk about what defines a church or defines the house of God. It's not architecture. It's always good to have a house. If you can have a nice house, a nice church house, it's great. But that's not what it's about. It's about leadership. The Bible teaches us that God's called and talks about the fivefold ministry and particularly about the pastor. And the pastor does what? The Bible said he watches for your soul. I saw a young lady in this church 7 years ago, maybe, something like that. And she quit this church. She'd been here for a while. And then I saw Brother Warren. She posted that she loved her new church. She liked it better. And she had two good reasons why. She said she enjoyed drinking and dancing with the pastor, and so she liked her church a whole lot better. Now, there is a girl that doesn't have a clue what a church is about. You're not looking for a dance partner or a drinking partner. If you understand spiritual things, you're looking for somebody that will watch for your soul. And that's the reason why I'm always concerned when a guy rents a storefront and rents 25 chairs and declares himself as a pastor. And he solicits and proselytizes a few people he can to get started because he doesn't realize he has now assigned himself a responsibility that he might not be capable of. And that is, if that person is lost, he has to give an account for them. The Bible said that. A pastor has to give an account. In fact, the Apostle Paul talked about that, and he said, I'm fearful after I've preached the gospel lest I become a castaway. He was concerned about the responsibility, and I'm concerned about the responsibility. We built this big old building on the freeway, and there's a few thousand people come here every week, but there's tens and tens of thousands that have come here the last 45 years, and you just come and go, and you're fine with that. But what if I literally have to give an account of every person that's passed through these doors, and God said, why didn't they stay? Why didn't they get saved? Why were they offended? Why did they end up lost? That's a responsibility as I get older that I'm not real happy about. But the Bible said I have to do it. And so I have to be balanced. As Pastor Brandon does, we have to be balanced that we preach the gospel to its true identity without being personally offensive with it because it is a balance. It's a tight wire that a pastor needs to walk. You cannot just preach so you get more people and not tell them the truth. You've got to declare truth even when it is offensive. At the same time, you can't just run off people that are hungry for God because your mannerisms are so offensive or your particular quirks are so offensive and you run them off. The Bible said you're going to have to give an account for them. And so a true church is not about architecture. God's always had a house, but it's really about leadership. And secondly, it's about doctrine. Now, that's a word that has gone out of vogue. And so the Bible teaches us that it is a scriptural word. People, I've actually seen people put that in their literature. We don't have any doctrine. Well, you might as well not go to that church. They might as well close their doors and make it into a lumberyard. Because if you don't have a doctrine, you can't help people. Because the word doctrine is simply a series or a set of teachings or lessons. The Bible said that they were amazed at Jesus' doctrine, at what he taught. If you don't teach anything, why open the doors? Why turn on the light? You're supposed to teach things to people. And what would that be? That would be the truth that would set them free. And so these are the things that qualify as it a house of God. There are so many unqualified, self-appointed pastors that have the wrong reason to do it. Sometimes they just think they're called. The Bible, or they used to say that when they saw the sign, they said it, go preach, but it really said go plow. They should have been a farmer, but they become a pastor. And I've heard a lot of people in the pulpit that you can recognize that God has not put them in that position, but they've called themselves. Either they're well-meaning or misguided, or they're simply false prophets. They're unqualified. They're self-appointed. They do it for self-aggrandizement. They do it for finance. Let's just go through this real quickly. You say, well, you know, so-and-so used to go here, and they don't go here anymore. Oh, they've got their own church. Well, where is it? Well, it's meeting over here. How many people do they have? They have about seven families. Let's say seven families bring $500 a month, and he's got $3,500, and now he don't have to work a job. Shame on a man or a woman that is preaching the gospel for money's sake. The Bible does say that a man of God, a teacher of the gospel, is worthy of his hire. But when I came to San Antonio, believe me, I took a big pay cut because I went from doing good to zero because I didn't know a soul in San Antonio. And we started this church. We didn't come for money. Beck and I came because we heard the voice of God and we were called to start this church. But somebody just starts a church because they're too lazy to work is a real problem in the kingdom of God. Because they're going to be motivated by money. They're not going to watch for people's souls. Their whole concept is going to be just so I can make money so I don't have to work a job like a normal person. And so there are a lot of those things going on out there. And you've got to be very careful. A church is God's idea. A church is a spiritual thing. A church is a supernatural thing. But flesh is not normally and naturally attracted to church. The Bible said that the flesh has enmity with the spirit. If the church of the living God is a spiritual organism, in fact, you know, the Bible talks about Father God. We got that. It talks about Jerusalem or the church, which is the mother of us all. And so God is the Father, the church is the mother, and we are the family of God together. And so God wants it to be that way. But the normal reaction to being confronted by the church, it's hard to get people to come to church. Hard to get people to come to church than it is to go to the bar. It's hard to get them to come to church than it is to go skating or skiing or playing ball or basketball or football or the bingo parlor, wherever you want to go. Church, it's a hard sell. And you say, why is that? Because there is a natural rebellion of flesh of coming to God's house. Just natural. Look what happens in the Bible, in Mark chapter 1. And there was in the synagogue, in the church, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. That's basically what people are saying, just let us alone. Leave us like we are. We've got a difficult job as pastors and as disciples and people that want to see other people go to heaven and not go to hell, to see them get saved. We have a difficult job. It's much like the lepers that were kicked out. Remember that in the story of Samaria? When they were kicked out, and then they went down to the camp of Syria, and they found the gold and the silver and the food, and the city of Samaria was shut up and starved to death. Then they went back to Samaria and was able to convert the people that had kicked them out, that there was an end of the famine, and they had to be followed. And they thought they were trying to trick them. It's the same thing today. When you try to get people to come to church, they think it's because you want their money. It's because they think you got an ulterior motive. They have no idea that they're lost without Jesus Christ. We're a dispenser of the gospel, the light of the world, the salt of the earth, and we've got one responsibility, and that is to tell everybody about Jesus Christ, that He is the way and the only way, that He is the truth. He's the only one that can set men free. That's the church of the living God. I'm not a college professor. This is not a classroom. We're not a school. This is not a multi-level marketing scheme. This is the church of the living God. And we've got one role, and that is to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and to convince people that He is the way and the only way, that He died for their sins, He rose again, He conquered death, hell, and the grave, and they must receive Him as their Lord and Savior or personal Savior, or they're going to be lost. That's quite a job we've got, but that's what we have been called to do. But their attitude is just like the man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit saying, "Let us alone." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And so we have a role, and that is to convince people that don't want to be convinced, to bring people that don't want to be brought, to save people that don't want to be saved. Pluck them like brands out of the burning, the Bible said. That's what God's called us to do. And so we say, well, we can just get them going to church anywhere. Friend, that is a terrible concept. Just get them going to church anywhere. Let me tell you something. The wrong church can do more harm than good. There are a lot of people that will not talk about Jesus, will not listen to your testimony because they've been to the wrong church. They've been misled, misguided, beat up, mistreated, and so they want nothing to do with any church at all. The Bible tells us, Jesus told us, in Luke chapter 11, verse 26, about a man that had a religious experience. And then the Bible said this, the last state of that man is worse than the first. Going to the wrong church can seal people against the truth. I call it vaccinated against the gospel. For they've got just enough religion that they are immune to the gospel, they're immune to the word, they're immune to the Holy Spirit, they're immune to preaching, and they want nothing to do with it whatsoever. It does matter what kind of a church you go to and where you go to church and the agenda those people have for you. We have no agenda for you except life eternal when you die and abundant life while you're on this earth. That's the only two agendas we have for you at Living Way Church. This is not a racket. We're not trying to subscribe to you. It's not multi-level marketing. It is that you and your household would be saved. And when you die, you're going to go to heaven. But in the meanwhile, it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. And as Dwight Thompson said, you're enjoying the journey on the bus. Praise God. And that's what we want for you. And so, number one, I'm going to talk now about things that really should indicate whether it's a church or not. And my question I'm posing to you is this church, don't judge another church, Living Way Church, judge the church that you're in. Well, I know my brother goes to this church or that church. No, judge the church that you're in. And my question to you, and a question that I ask myself on a regular basis, is this house of God the gate of heaven? If it's not the gate of heaven, we need to close this building down, turn out those lights, and sell this valuable property and give it to another nonprofit corporation because it's illegal for us to sell this property and distribute among the members. That's against the federal law. It has to be given to another nonprofit. That's what we need to do if this is not the gate of heaven, because we're deceiving a lot of people, including ourselves. And so we have to stay true to the gospel. And there is pressure on us all the time. We are now in religion, I say it all the time, building Fortune 500 churches and worshiping at the altar of success. It's no longer about the gospel. It's about how many people you have. It's about how nice your building is and how many employees you have. It's Fortune 500 religion, and it's all worshiping at the altar of success. And so I fight that in myself. Pastor Brandon fights it just like I do. We're not building a corporation here. This is not a Fortune 500 company. This is the church of the living God. for a man that's never met God, that's got tattoos on both arms and drug tracks on his arm, can walk in this place and he can be traumatically changed. He don't have a checkbook. He don't even have a checking. You talk about tithe. He ain't made a paycheck for 15 months. What do you mean tithe? We're not looking for tithers. We're trying to save people from hell, get them on their way to heaven. We're trying to prove to people this is the house of God and this is the gate of heaven. We're not trying to be like anybody you read about in a magazine of church growth. We're not trying to be like the church across town. We're trying to be true to our calling, and that is preach the gospel. Be a dispenser of the gospel that men and women from any background, rich, poor, young, old, male, female, black, white, brown, yellow, young, old, it don't matter. They can hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit get a hold of their heart and they see, praise God, their eyes are open and suddenly they're like Jacob. They say, this is the house of God and the gate of heaven, and I knew it not. Suddenly they wake up to the kingdom of God and that they without Christ are a sinner that's going to hell. But praise God, anybody, just any old body, it don't care who you are, just anybody can go to heaven if they'll make Jesus Christ the Lord of their life. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Do you believe that? I'm asking you, this is your church. This is my church. This is our church. Is this the house of God? Is this the gate of heaven? That's what we got to ask ourselves every time we come through these doors. We can make decisions about pews. You know, pews are out of fashion. They're taking all the pews out of the church. Now they're chairs. And I have no idea why. It's just it's strange to me. Let me say this right. People are getting fatter, which their behinds are getting bigger, and the chairs in church are getting smaller. Hey, this church is made for fat people. No matter how fat you are, you can sit right here in this pew. You can be, praise God. Hey, well, I'm skinny. Well, we want you to. But we really want fat people. That's the reason why we don't have chairs. Now, I'm just fooling with you. The truth is we can make decisions about pews or chairs, about media, screens or no screens, about lights or no lights. All of that is just has it just it's just about it's about technology, it's about the 21st century. But we cannot make decisions on the gospel. The gospel can't be changed. The gospel is not democracy. It's not a vote of a crowd. It is what thus saith God. Let God be true and every man a liar. And so if we compromise the truth of the Word of God, it's not a church and it's not the gate of heaven. It's a Fortune 500 club that generates lots of money, but it does not open the gate and cause people to be saved. And friend, that's what we're about, is the gate of heaven. We want this to be the gate of heaven. I don't care if you were raised in a cult. I don't care if you've never been to a church a day in your life. I don't care if your daddy was a pastor or your daddy was an alcoholic and he cursed God every day. It does not matter. If we can have the church of God, the house of God, the gate of heaven, it is an opportunity for you that were afar off, the Bible said, to come near and come into the presence of God. And so number one, this is my number one point. I'm going to have to quit here on my number one point, it looks like. The number one point, whether this is a religious event, whether this is a multi-level marketing scheme, or whether this is the house of God and the gate of heaven, Jacob awake out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Number one, the presence of the Lord. I don't care how good a speaker you are, and how funny you are, and how articulate you are, and how you handle adjectives and adverbs. Friend, that's not what this is about. It's about us coming together and us all sacrificing our will and sacrificing our desires and saying, Lord, more than anything, we want your Holy Spirit in this building. Because I can't remit a sin. I can't save a soul. I can't convert a heart. I cannot convict someone. But the Holy Spirit can do more in 5 seconds than I can do in 5 years. And so more than anything, folks, we need the Holy Spirit. Say, why is the Holy Spirit here and it's not somewhere else? The Holy Spirit is entertained. It is pictured in the Bible as a dove. Do you realize how flighty a dove is? I've got a friend, he used to be a big hunter, and he used to hunt dove all the time. He said, I was out there killing those dove one day, and he said, something said, you know, that's the symbol of the Holy Spirit. And he said, I never shot another dove. And that's not a doctrine. I got dove all over my ranch, and I don't hunt anymore. I just got lots of guns, but I don't hardly ever fire in them. I don't hunt. But it's the Holy Spirit is symbolized as a dove. And that dove will take flight at the least disruption. Just fly off. And friend, you do not have the Holy Spirit in a congregation, a house of God, a church, by accident. It has to happen because he is entertained, because he is attracted, because he is desired, because he is sought. More than anything else, if this is going to be the house of God and the gate to heaven, Brother Warren, we must entertain the presence of the Lord. We must. That's the reason why we come in here. This is not, hey, the church has got talent. This is not to display talent and voices. This is to enter in and escort in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason why you, that might be a singer akin to my talent, which is zero, can still entertain the presence of God, because God is not excited about the perfection of your tone or the quality of your voice or the skill of your ability, but you can attract God with a very contrite and hungry heart like David. We have to realize what David thought about the house of God. He said, I was happy when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. And David said, my heart, it seeks God. Like a deer that is thirsty seeks the water. And he said, that's the way I am, like a brook. He said, I'm hungry and thirsty for the presence of God. And somebody, one of the city leaders, told me, he said, I go to a church. I told you this the other day, but it was terrible. He told me, he said, we go to such a church. He named a big church here in San Antonio. And he said, we go there because my wife says we got to go somewhere. And he said, that's the nearest nothing I've ever seen. He said, they run thousands of people. They don't even take an offering. He said, they got the things out in the foyer where you can give something. He said, they got a sermon. They read off of a little book. They put everything up on the wall. And he said, we're there less than 50 minutes. He said, it's the nearest nothing I can find for a church. And that's the reason why I go there. And friend, that's not the Lone Ranger. That's a posse of people that feel the very same way. They go to church because they feel guilty and condemned and obligated, and the nearest nothing they can find is where they go. We are an exceptional group of people. We don't have to go to church. We get to go to church. We don't come here to avoid God. You see, they go to church to avoid the condemnation of what they believe is an angry God. We are exactly the opposite. We do not come to church to avoid God. We come to church to attract God. And so when we sing, it's for this purpose, that he will inhabit my praise, that he will receive my worship, and he will come down, and he will wash me with the hyssop of his grace and wash me with his blood. He will take away my failures and my sin and my shame and iniquities, and they're gone. And he will replace it with his peace and his love and his grace and his joy and his power. So we're not so concerned about how articulate the man or woman in the pulpit is. What we are concerned, can I feel his presence? Can I know that God is in this place? Can I be like Jacob running for my life and say, suddenly, praise God, this is a dreadful place, a fearful place, because the almighty creator of the universe just walked down in the aisle and sat down in my pew beside me and put his arm around me, and I got goosebumps running up and down my spine. He convicted me of some things I've been doing. He introduced me to some things I have not yet achieved, praise God. Woo! And suddenly I realized, I'm in the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. I can get to heaven from here. That's what you need to ask yourself about your church. Can I get to heaven from here? Can I get to heaven from here? And let me explain something, folks. The toughest person in the church to be saved is the preacher, because he knows everything about everybody. He has to work at this every day. And after a while, you can be a carnal so-called Christian. You can be a professional preacher and just be trying to have good services to attract the people. Or you can grab yourself by the nape of the neck and say, wait just a minute. Is this still the house of God? Is this still about the gate of heaven? Do you still want to avoid hell and go to heaven? Then, buddy, you can't be a professional preacher. You got to be a saint. I've had preachers tell me I don't tithe. You know, preachers don't have to tithe. These preachers that say, I don't have to, they ain't saved. Because real saints of God don't say, do I have to go to church? Do I have to pray? Do I have to tithe? Do I have to worship? They realize that everything involving God's house is not a have to, but praise God, it is a real gift of God that God allows me to come to God's house and worship Him and hear the Word of God and preach the Word of God and feel His Spirit. And praise God, 70 years of age, been preaching since I was 16. Years of age, and praise God, it still causes goosebumps on my body. Hallelujah. I still get excited about it. I still feel a little quickening, praise God. I still get a little sweat in the palm of my hand because I'm going to be in the presence of Almighty God and God's royal army, God's faithful people. Oh, I hear preachers talking bad about saints in and out of the pulpit. I hear them lace them down. Do you know who you're talking to? You're talking to God's royalty. You're talking to people that work 8 or 10 hours a day, that get up early and work late and still come to God's house and still give God 10 and 15, 20% of their money. And you're going to talk down to them, preacher? There's something wrong with you. When I walk into your presence, I've been with the president. I've sat in with the president in his office and talked with him with hours. But friend, it does not compare to talking and being like I was with you today, Sister Louise, in the office for 15 minutes. I was in the presence of royalty. You are God's people, bought with a price. The Ecclesiastes, the called out ones, the church of the living God, the bride of Christ, the mother of us all. Hey, this is the house of God and the gate to heaven. Hallelujah! Oh, glory to God. And I'm asking you, keep me straight, because I'm going to try to keep you straight. Let iron sharpeneth iron. Let us be together, praise God. And let us work on one another, because we've got one purpose, to make sure this is the house of God. Running for our lives, we found this place called Bethel, praise God. We're going to set an altar up here. We're going to pour oil on that altar. We're going to declare this is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Not only can I go to heaven from here, I can bring my friends here and lead them through the gate. I can bring my family here and take them through the gate. I want this to be a house of God, not just a church building, not just a Fortune 500 club. I want to talk about how much money we have and how many members we got and what our property is worth. I want to be able to say, oh, let me tell you, I got a friend, he called me just before church, and every time I talk to him, he's either got a movie star saved or a football player saved. Never gets anybody just normal saved. And I said, brother, we're getting people saved. I said, I don't know whether they got jobs or not, but they got tattoos. I said, I don't know whether they're famous or not, but I know that they were made in the image of Almighty God. And he got real quiet, and he said, that's what it's about, brother. That's what you've always wanted. That's what I'm known for among my preacher peers. I don't have to pray through and get movie stars saved to be excited. I don't have to get football players saved to be excited. You don't have to drive a Rolls Royce to come here. You don't have to make six figures to come here. You are made in the image of God. You hadn't had a paycheck in 6 months. You don't know what church is all about. You've got a drug problem, an alcohol problem, and a family problem. But praise God, you're welcome here, because this is not a church building. This is the house of the living God. Hallelujah. And this is the gate of heaven. Come just like you are, black or white, brown or yellow, young or old. Oh, somebody said, I heard a pastor say on TV, a national pastor say, he said, we don't have a youth ministry. I know him personally. He has a huge following. He's one of the biggest churches in America. Not Joel, but it's another guy in that league. And he actually said to me, we don't want young people because they don't have any money. We found out the middle-aged people are our target because they got the money. Hey, we don't have a target except you're breathing. If you're breathing, you're my target. Hallelujah. I don't care if you don't have a bank account. You don't have a checking account. You're my target, praise God. I don't care if you have to hitchhike and you don't have a driver's license. You are my target. We didn't come here to build a successful business. We came here to open up the house of God and say, come one and come all. This is the gate of heaven. And if you've got AIDS, God can heal you. If you've got three wives, God can narrow down the field a little bit. If you've got a drug habit, God can addict you to the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're an alcoholic, he can make you drunk on the new wine. Come on, come on, whoever you are. Hey, I'm recruiting again. I'm recruiting my recruits. Brother Warren, how long have you been with me, buddy? 40 years, I'm recruiting you again. Let's make this the house of God. Let's make sure this is the gate of heaven. It's not just a church building or a successful organization. It's the house of God and the gate of heaven. And Lord, let these altars be full every Sunday and let them be full every Wednesday. And they don't have to have tailored suits or expensive clothes. They can come in any form they've got. They can come and you realize these people don't have any money at all, but they're created in the image of Almighty God, and they deserve the message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected. Would you jump up on your feet and give God some praise? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this house tonight.